I was throwing rocks at the TV when Faulkner was a sixth bowler used. For Michael Clarke to come on the fourth bowler in front of Faulkner is an absolute disgrace. What a load of junk that is. Kim tried to tell me one day, I think it was about 84, and West Indies, he tried to tell me it's a team game. But I said, no, it's not, Kim, it's an individual's game.
Right, you're bloody well right.
On Halftime, right, Rodney Hall.
Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
Hockey's brought to you by Sensational Seafood Sundays at Ribera's out at North Melbourne for just $99. Is that all? Enjoy a two-course lunch for two, including a bottle of wine. That is Sensational Seafood Sundays. Well, Fridays is Friends of Ribera's, and that means six freshly shucked oysters and a beer for just $15 between 4 and 7. For the freshest and best seafood, you can't go past Ribera's, 480 Victoria Street, North Melbourne. Just a 10-minute walk to Etihad. Phone 9329 1634. Rodney Malcolm Hogg, good afternoon.
Okay, Tony, and the service out there is magnificent.
It is.
Sunday before the soccer. Went to the footy. Saw the Crows crap on Collingwood, and then soccer on Sunday. So when Ribera's on,
sounds like you're happy about that.
Yeah,
no, the Crows crapping on Collingwood.
No, well, the rain barracks for the Crows.
So oh, okay.
Yeah, you've got to.
Yeah,
everything's.
So you've got an affiliation there.
Well, I'm happy. Yeah. She's happy. Yeah, that's how it works, isn't it? Relationships.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But the big story, I suppose, around cricket at the moment is the return of form with the bat of KP.
Well, we're going to talk to Brendan about Shane. Well, we're also going to
Brendan McArdle.
Yeah. We're on radio. I thought I was just talking to mate. But we're talking to Brendan McArdle about Peterson and the meeting of Shane Warne with. It should have been Sir Richie Benaud, shouldn't it? Richie Benaud. If you're going to make someone a sir, it should have been Sir Richie.
Posthumous? Posthumous?
What's that mean?
You get it after you die.
Do you?
Could he be knighted still?
Can you still get knighted after you pass
Would have rather
away?
Richie be knighted than Prince Philip.
Well, he's a legend over in England. He's an absolute legend.
Yeah, he is.
In England.
Yeah.
Legend here and so dignified. And anyway, have we got Brendan there yet?
A legend of Victorian cricket. Brendan McArdle, good afternoon.
G'day, Tony. How are you going? G'day, Hoggy.
73 first-class games, Brendan, and 7,000 runs at an average of 60. Most people in the streets would think that, wouldn't they?
unbelievably bluffed.
No. Well, everybody knows you. Everybody knows you. There'll
not
be
really,
people.
Some people do. Some people know me too much.
Squizzy Taylor could walk around the MCG. Nobody knows him. He probably averages 40 odd.
That's right. Very quiet man, self-effacing. So I hope I'm not too much the opposite.
Now we've got a couple. Beautifully put. We've got a couple of issues we want to talk to. One, obviously, the passing of Richie Benaud, and you first met, let's say, Shane Warne, and we've had three great leg spinners in Australian cricket. Grimmett, Benno, and then obviously Shane. 89-90, Dandy Nong played St Kilda at the Shepley Oval, and that was the first time you ran across Shane Warne.
Yep. He was sensational, wasn't he, as you know. As you said at the time to Graffy and the Slips, why isn't this bloke playing for Australia instead of Peter Sleep? But look, I got to know him just after that and helped place him over in England at a club called Accrington in Lancashire League. And living around the corner myself, playing, I had played in that comp for a number of years, as you probably know, Hoggy, and I saw a lot of him that winter. And look, he was a kid who, he was 21, not 22, as I said in the article, so
but
I got Bryn, that one wrong.
Bryn, after that, he played one Shield game, hadn't he, before you took him overseas?
Yep, one Shield game only, and that was down the Junction Oval, I remember, against South Australia, and not remarkable. Anyway, he wanted to go, so over he went. I helped him get a club called Accrington, which was Bobby Simpson's former club many years before. And look, he showed a fair bit. Early on, he struggled, but he showed a little bit after a little while. It was pretty obvious to everyone who... And there were a lot of blokes from Melbourne Premier Cricket over there that year who saw a fair bit of Shane. And we all thought he had a bit of something, but we didn't know it was 700 wickets worth.
But weren't you sitting in front of... You used to go around, he lived really close by, and you were sitting around, and wasn't he taking Richie off on the TV in the month of, say, May?
Was he ever? I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time at his place, him at my place a bit as well, and watching a lot of cricket, West Indies, England, and Richie's commentating, of course, as he always was. And no, he wasn't a bad imitator. Everyone's done the imitation. The villain was probably just hot off the presses in those days. So, yeah, he'd been doing that a fair bit. So the background to me, actually, him meeting Richie was that, of course. So...
Well, you're sitting there watching TV, and did he say, oh, I'd like to meet Richie?
Well, he did. He said, do I know Richie? And I said, well, not really. I've only met him once. So he had a bit of an idea because he'd been offered to play for South Australia, Rodney, and he wasn't sure whether to go and play there or stay in Victoria where he'd play just the one game. And in the back of his mind, he needed a bit of advice. And look, even though when he spoke to Richie, when he did meet him, he said he hadn't been promised games. He sort of had. I'd seen a couple of things from Adelaide that South Australian cricket coach, Peter Philpott, your old Australian coach, where he sort of intimated that he was definitely going to be in their starting 11, you know, the next season. So he asked me if I knew Richie, and I said, not very much, but his mind was spinning after Richie mentioned his name, called his name out, and was selected for the Australia A tour to Zimbabwe a couple of months later. So that got his imagination going, and he had a plan in his mind. I want to ask Richie what I should do. Do I know him, etc. So down we went to the Oval, and...
Did you have tickets, Bren, you and Shane?
No tickets, Rodney, no. But we knew the bloke. We knew the bloke who was 12th man for England. You know, the county players, the local county players, often the 12th man, even though he's not in the Test 11. Well, a bloke called David Ward, who played out here quite a bit in sub-district cricket and for the old Plastics 11, who a lot of blokes from Melbourne would know, from Melbourne club cricket. He was over there as 12th man in that particular match, I noticed, the day before. So when I got to the gate, I asked for him, and down he came, and in we go, the two of us.
Into the English rooms, you and a young Shane Warne.
Correct, and it wasn't as if we just breezed through. We got stuck on the way through, and Shane knew Mickey Stewart was the England coach at that time, and Shane had played against England in a tour match for the Academy the previous year or so. So they knew him a little bit. They knew of him. So we stopped and had a chat, and Ian Botham was there, your mate, and, you know, always gregarious. They were off for bad light. It was about 4 o'clock, and they were off for bad light, believe it or not. And so, yeah, we're lingering there a little bit too long because, as you know, players don't like freeloaders being in their rooms, and we shouldn't have been there, really.
You shouldn't have been in the ground. You didn't really have tickets, so you shouldn't have been in Lords. And all of a sudden, you're in the... English rooms.
In the Holy of Holies. So Graham Gooch didn't look too happy. Not that he looked that happy most of the time anyway, Hoggy, as you know. So eventually we moved on. Wardy took us through, plonked us down in the players' viewing area, and then asked us if we wanted to have a couple of beers, which I didn't know what to say then. Totally didn't know what to say. I mean, that was taking it a bit
And this too is
far.
Is this Viv's last test match?
Viv's last test match was a big moment, you know.
Yeah. So how did you get around to Richie?
Next morning, we sort of got through that afternoon and that night, stayed somewhere around Paddington or somewhere, I think, a bed and breakfast, all those places there. Next morning, up I went, we went to the media area, and it's not like now with a brand new, good, spacious area. It was sort of more or less a platform and scaffolding and all that sort of stuff. I asked the young bloke for if Richie was around and available for a quick chat. He went and got him, and out he came. So I sort of said my name, and it was quite funny because he said something like, "It's been a long time," something like that, which got me, I had to hold back. And then I said, "This is Shane Warne. As you know, he's been selected in the A-team. He would just like to have a bit of a chat with you. He's had an offer from South Australia. Would you, would you mind just having a chat with him?" So I moved back a little bit and pretended not to listen. And it was quite funny to be seeing the nervous 21-year-old Shane, who'd been imitating Richie pretty well for the previous few months, listening to every word and telling his situation as it was. So that was it. And Richie sort of gave me, I do remember Richie sort of finished up by saying, "Have you been promised any games, Shane?" And Shane sort of said, no, I haven't really. So he said, if you're not going to play, you're better off staying home. That was Richie's advice. And so... off we went. We watched the rest of the cricket that day, and I remember England beat West Indies that day, remarkably. And then Warney went off to the A tour, and Taylor was captain, and War was in the side, so he got a fair bit of ear bashing from the New South Wales boys, I think. And he didn't know whether he was Arthur or Martha, I reckon, by the time he got back from that tour, whether he was playing in Victoria, South Australia, or New South Wales. So they had a trial game at the Albert Ground. And Simon O'Donnell's 11 versus Dean Jones' 11, and I think Simon put Warney under a bit of pressure to make his mind up there and then, and he chose Victoria.
So Simon Ruthless, was he?
Simon Ruthless, yeah, I think he was, as we know.
Hey, Brendan, Warnie, a bit of a larrikin at that age, a young kid. What was he like in front of Richie? Was he did he sort of lose that persona?
Very respectful, and but look, he was a larrikin as such. He was a 21-year-old kid with a big personality, and with a bit of belief in himself. And I mean, he had the bleached hair and all that sort of stuff. He was very much into those sorts of things. A little bit, you know, when he was young as well, but he carried it really well. His personality got him through, and even though I was a lot older than him, he was a very interesting sort of person to be around during that 4 or 5 months.
Brendan, I'll just butt in there because we've got to go to a break in a couple of secs, but there's a couple of things. The one thing is obviously Peterson's got 172 days ago in England in county cricket. So who are the two who's sacked him? Is Giles, he was the chairman of the ECB. Is he finished up now, Giles?
What's that again? Sorry.
Has Giles finished? The ECB chairman, Giles. He's one of the blokes I would have thought responsible for sacking. Is he finishing up now, Giles?
He's gone. He's finished. The new bloke from Yorkshire is in.
Who's the new bloke from Yorkshire? Do you know?
Graves. Colin Graves. So Peterson's hanging his head on the new bloke. But look, Peterson's 100 wasn't against the county side. It was against the bloody university. It's about wouldn't even go near beating Melbourne University seconds.
Mate, it's 170 and it's in England and it's Peterson. It might as well be a test match.
It's a good story.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So the new chairman comes along. That opens up the way for Peterson to certainly come back into the team, doesn't it?
Well, it does in the eyes of the Peterson PR machine. I mean, that publicity and all that's been going on for months for him has been really strong, hasn't it? And it's almost overwhelming. So they've almost put a couple of people in strong positions into corners about giving up. But look, I wouldn't think it's a done thing. I reckon there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, and I reckon there'll be a fair bit of opposition from some significant people still, none less so than probably Cook, if he's still there, and people like Anderson.
But the bottom line is it's going to disrupt English cricket. They won't be concentrating on playing us in the Ashes, and it'll be all about Peterson. And overnight we saw Bell get 143, and he became the ninth highest run getter. So,
Oh, look, I think it's a good story, and it's been a good story, but I'm still very doubtful whether it's going to happen. And I think even though Peterson's one of the greatest players I reckon we've seen, English players especially, or players for England, I doubt whether it's going to happen. And I don't think he's the player he was before anyway.
Yeah. Hey, Brendan, before we let you go, mate, I've got to congratulate you on a personal note for your legendary status at Downing Knock Cricket Club earlier this year, co-captain, co-coach with Warren Ayres. A fantastic honour for you, mate, and well-deserved.
Tony, and it was a great night for the club, and the main speaker did a great job.
Merv Hughes, wasn't it?
Yeah, Merv Hughes.
And Rodney was the sideshow.
The former Northcote player. Thanks, Tony.
Good on you, Brendan. Thank you for that, mate. Thanks for your time, Brendan McCall. Very much deserved. What a great man he's been. Servant of Danny Nong, but of Victorian cricket, just in total.
I think he's pretty close to the legend of Victorian cricket. Well, yeah. District cricket. Let's say district cricket.